Our first reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Listen to the word of the Lord. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there a violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading for today comes to us from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 18. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priest shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, and to make grain offerings, and to make sacrifices for all time. This ends the reading of God's holy word. May God add many blessings to the hearing of it. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we've come into your house and gathered in your name to worship you. Enable us to hear your call in our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts here together be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Our Lord, our Rock, our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, today starts Advent. Last Thursday was Thanksgiving, and I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving time. I hope you had a great meal. I hope you enjoyed the outcomes of the football games. I hope you had lots of leftovers and spent time with friends or family. When I was growing up, I was taught that we celebrated Thanksgiving because the day the pilgrims and the Indians came together and shared a feast, and that was the start of Thanksgiving. It wasn't until I was older that I learned the real reason why we celebrate Thanksgiving, why we have a national holiday. We trace it back to that first feast, but it really has its roots in the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln was elected in 1860, and as you know, the South tried to secede from the United States, and the North and the South went to war. And for the first 2 years, it wasn't going so well for the Union. The troops were holding, but just barely. And by 1862, the people had begun to lose hope. So in November, 17 different states, starting with New York, passed laws that there would be a holiday for giving thanks. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln decided to get out ahead of this and declared August 6th the National Day of Thanksgiving, a national holiday. It was later moved to November because the football season hadn't started yet in August and Dallas and Detroit weren't playing. And so we had this day of giving thanks to remind the people that even when the military was taking a beating, even when it seemed all was lost, they had much to be thankful for, and it helped to restore hope. And hope is a wonderful, precious commodity. Hope is what we celebrate today. We light the first candle of the Advent calendar, the Hope Candle. And we look to the prophet Jeremiah, who is speaking to people who no doubt needed hope. The Babylonian Empire had conquered the northern kingdom. Just as we are worshiping today in the backdrop of the burning Advent candle, Jeremiah spoke to people in the backdrop of Jerusalem burning. The people had lost. Their homes had been taken away. They were exiled. If anyone ever needed a word of hope, it was these people. And so that's what Jeremiah did. He spoke a word of hope. He spoke of a day when Jerusalem would be restored, when there would once again be a king on the throne of David, when there once would be again would be righteousness, justice, and peace. And he gave them hope. Hope can be so important. Hope drives us forward. So often when we struggle, so often when we have difficult times, our tendency is to look backwards. Look back to the better times. Look to the good times. The good old days. Think about the Israelites lost in the wilderness, hungry and thirsty. And they looked back to the days when they were slaves in Egypt and said, I wish we could go back there. Jeremiah knows the people are despondent. So he gives them hope, and he keeps them looking forward. Advent is a period of waiting. It's a time when we remember the Israelites waiting for the Messiah that would come to save them. It's a time when we wait for the time when Christ will come again and complete his work. And it's a time of hope. And hope drives us forward. Hope gives us purpose. Hope makes us act. So because it's a time of waiting, we don't wait with our hands in our pocket. We don't wait sitting on our hands, but hope drives us to action. In 1981, Eugene Lang was a millionaire living in the Bronx. And he was asked to speak to a sixth grade class. And he went to speak to this class and he looked at the statistics and saw that less than 25% of this school graduated high school. And he said, what can I possibly say to these children? Here I am, someone who's very successful, millions of dollars. And this is a class that's going to be mostly high school dropouts who very well might not achieve anything. So he took his speech and he tore it up. And he looked at each student and said, stay in school. If you stay in school, if you graduate high school, I will pay for you to go to college. 6 years later, over 85% of that class graduated high school. And Lang lived up to his word and gave scholarships to each of them. But more than the scholarships, he gave them hope. And that hope drove them to action. It drove them to study. It drove them to achieve and excel in school. It drove them to graduate. Hope turns waiting into action. So often we think about what was, what is, and what will be. But when we have hope, and especially when that hope comes of God, from God, we add two more things to what was, what is, what will be. We also think about what can be and what should be. And Isaiah points us to what should be. And Jeremiah drives us to work towards what should be. As we wait for Christ, we are driven towards what should be. When we celebrate the hope that Christ gives, the hope that Christ will come again, the hope that we will have a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, the hope that the lion will lay down with the lamb, that there will be peace, justice, and righteousness, we are driven to work for peace, justice, and righteousness. We are driven to work to further King's kingdom, Christ's kingdom here on earth until the day when Christ comes again. Martin Luther King Jr.'s last writing was the book, Where Do We Go From Here? He writes it after the Civil Rights Act has passed, after the Voting Rights Act has passed, and after the Civil Rights Movement started to become disenchanted and realizing that these laws don't have the impact and the teeth that the Civil Rights Movement hoped that they had. So he says, where do we go from here? We achieved what we thought were victories and they were taken away from us. This was during the time when the Black Power movement was rising up and he was speaking against that and still advocating for nonviolence. He said, where do we find our hope? Where do we go from here? And then he recounts the time in Selma after the march that the airport was severely delayed. And he looked around and there were people sitting everywhere, white people, black people, Jewish people, Christian people, atheist people, people of all walks of life. And he said, those are the best of people. That is where we find hope. That God is working through those people. As we wait for the time when Christ comes again, we wait with hope. We wait with the hope of God's promise. And that should compel us to be the best of people. That should compel us to work for peace, for justice, for righteousness. That should compel us to further God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Until that day when Christ comes again and his work is complete. So as we light the candle of hope, I hope just as we light that flame, a flame is lit in you. That yes, we are waiting for Christ to come again, but we aren't waiting idly. Hopefully that flame burns in you and causes you to be the best of people. Causes you to be an image of hope that someone could look at and say, there is hope in Christ. It compels them to be a better person. Then we could come together and we could further Christ's work. We could further God's kingdom until he comes again. Amen.